But you're too busy.
Yeah, we've become proficient in the smile and nod.
That's so awesome. MyLongWayHome.org to check out all the animals for adoption. To actually adopt an animal or become a foster parent, go to MyLongWayHome.org. Stephanie, thank you always.
Thank you.
Papaya, woof. We'll see you soon. Hopefully we don't. Hopefully someone will jump in on that. And again, on Twitter, we've already sent out the photos. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
I will talk to everyone else. Oh, probably if I'm guessing, I'll say tomorrow and about 11 a.m., same time.
Join the Eagle Crew. Aubrey, Cease, Rich, Josh, David, Larry, and Primo on Eggie Nation. Brought to you by MSC Opus. Afternoons 2 to 4 on KZNE and KNDE HD3. College Station Bryan.
I'm Rich Ackerman. Former North Carolina head coach Bill Guthridge passed away today. He was 77. Guthridge spent 30 years as an assistant to Dean Smith before succeeding his longtime friend and boss as head coach in 1997. Guthridge coached the Tar Heels for only 3 years but led them to the Final Four twice, and his death comes just 3 months after Smith passed away. The Wizards and Hawks are even at 2 games apiece with Game 5 in Atlanta tonight. John Wall's status remains uncertain due to a fractured hand. Backcourt mate Bradley Beal said he'll try to take on more responsibility at this time.
My teammates look up to me. You know, even though I'm at such a young age, I look up to a lot of these guys, but I have to voice myself a lot, and I know I have to lead by example. So it's just a challenge for me to be able to do that, and I'm more than willing to do that and step up and lead this team as much as I can.
The second part of the doubleheader features the Grizzlies and Warriors, who are also even at 2 and back in Oakland for tonight's Game 5. Steve Kerr's team responded after dropping back-to-back games. The Warriors head coach said every good team has to answer a test at some point.
You see it with every single team. I mean, you can go down and, back every year. Teams face adversity. If they respond in the right way, they improve from it, and you keep plugging away.
There's a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. The Rangers host the Capitals, looking to complete a comeback from a 3-1 series deficit. Washington had a one-goal lead with 1:40 left in Game 5, but the Rangers rallied to win that one and then followed it up with a win in Game 6. 2 days games in baseball today. The A's host the Red Sox, the Nationals, and Diamondbacks square off shortly in Arizona. I'm Rich Ackerman.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and we've got you covered on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zinert with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Join the BCS Convention and Visitors Bureau in a free celebration of businesses that make traveling to Aggieland a great experience tomorrow from 5 to 7 at Wolfpin Creek. The American Legion Post 159 in Bryan invites all local submarine qualified men to meet and share their experiences and honor the men on Eternal Patrol on Saturday morning starting at 9. Guitar Center in College Station is holding an open house for their music lessons program Saturday afternoon from 1 until 4. For more information, stop by the store on Harvey Road. Head out to Deanville for their annual German Fest. $10 plates of German-style food from 11 until they sell out. All-day activities on Sunday from 10 to 6 at the Volunteer Fire Station. Today, a 60% chance of thunderstorms, cloudy and 79. Tonight, 50% chance of rain continues, mostly cloudy and 70. You can now hear your favorite shows, Texags Radio, The Louie Belina Show, Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle, and Chip Howard Sports Talk on your FM dial. Listen in on the Zone 102.7 FM.
When you get a Ram truck, it's also a good time to shop for a bigger boat, because that's what having a new Ram 3500 leads to. With the Ram 3500's best-in-class 30,000 pounds towing, you can tow a much larger fishing boat than you ever thought possible. Bigger toys, bigger adventures. That's Ram 3500. So when the wife says, "You bought a new Ram truck and a bigger boat too?" tell her, "The truck made you do it." It's that kind of uncompromising leadership that has more people driving Ram trucks than ever before. Join us now during the Ram Drive and Discover event. Right now, commercial customers can purchase and get $4,000 total cash allowance on the 2015 Ram 3500 Crew Cab. Visit RamTrucks.com to find a Ram dealer near you and to check out other great deals on the full line of rugged Ram trucks. 350 3500 pickups. Available Cummins diesel when properly equipped. Based on escalating total retail sales of calendar years 2009 through 2015. Allowance varies by upfit. See dealer for eligibility and details. Take retail delivery by 6/1/15. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Cornerstone Home Health, Zwirneman Flooring, The Sleep Station, and Tom Light Chevrolet. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Come stand with the 12th man at all Texas A&M athletic events. You make a difference for our student athletes in our venues. Tickets are available at 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com/tickets. Thanks and gig'em. Aggie fans, Texas A&M Athletics is always just a few clicks away on your digital device. Stay connected by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit 12thman.com/social media for a complete social media directory.
Listen to The Zone, 102.7 in Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation. Covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Is staying dry out there.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I was just going to say.
Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom, hanging out with you today on a Wednesday. We are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the new season, the season that dreams are made of, at mscopus.org. Go check that out. Lots of good stuff coming there. You can call us, 693-1150, or you can text us, 229-1939, and let us know what's going on. We got a few things. We're trying to follow the Champions League game. but if you've ever tried to use the Fox Sports Go app, you understand that it's sketchy at best, and there's no way Kroom understands it. So you're kind of out of luck over there.
I'm just hoping I can.
I'm watching a blurry version on my phone.
Come by and just see.
Yeah, so we're kind of watching that. Real Madrid. Juventus? I always say it wrong. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Juventus?
Yeah, that's
Juve?
What that's. Yeah.
Juve is the.
Yeah, that's how I always say
it. Kind of like Barca against Juve.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be that in the final.
Could be. Mm-hmm. Could be. We will. Well, it's actually probably will be. I mean, right now, because Juventus leads on aggregate. So we'll see. That game's early in the early stages. We'll let you know what's going on there. Hit us up if you're watching that. Again, 229-1939. A lot of things you want to get to today, Kroom. There's a lot going on. They got the playoffs. We got the Astros are tanking again or whatever they're doing. We're going to talk about that later.
They're tanking?
On.
I don't.
Yeah,
think
no, they're tanking.
Well, they're trying to get another first round.
Well,
draft pick?
We're going to talk about that.
Number
later.
One overall draft pick.
And then you know some various things throughout the show. We will check in with Larry the Pontoon Bowen and David the Boat Campbell later on to get the latest from the. Tennis. Now, we joked yesterday in the high school report. I joked with the guys because they were pushing back the start times and pushing it back. I said, they're going to be out there playing until 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was kidding around, and David said, well, they won't do that. Well, turns out they did do that.
That was a pretty good prediction because that's what I heard was when they left, was 4
about,
in the morning.
Yeah, about 3:30, 4 o'clock this morning. They were still out there. So we will get their thoughts on that.
That one kind of shocked me when I heard that.
I bet they have an opinion on that later on. We will ask them about that.
And not then, exactly the best thing for newspaper.
No, you know, no, mean, probably
timing,
not.
You know, that's where social media comes in and all.
I don't think any media is real good at 4 o'clock in the morning.
But
we'll see. So we'll do that later on. But first, the thing I want to ask you about, Kroom, you're the guy that follows baseball day-to-day here. And I thought that'd be a good way to start the show. Since it is Aggie Nation, we got a lot of things going on in professional sports we want to talk about. But you always focus on A&M first. And the thing that you know, the game last night got canceled. They didn't have to go over to Sam, which probably, you know, they're never going to say that. As Seeley said on Monday, the competitor in you wants to go out and get a game out of the way. But for pitching's sake, probably a little bit better off. They didn't have to worry about a midweek game going into Ole Miss. But
I don't think they're real happy, though, about getting all the way over there and then having to
turn
around.
No, I don't think they were happy about that. But
especially when they had to leave today for Ole Miss.
But D1 Baseball came out with their midweek things like they do every week, and for the first time in a while, A&M not projected as one of their national seeds. They've got them as just outside. So my question to you,
that is a little surprising to me.
I thought they'd should still fans be worried? That's the
question. Well, I guess if they're projected, then they should be, because if there's a trend, it's toward them not being able to host a super regional. I didn't think that they would have hit that yet, but in my opinion. But if that's what they've said and that's what the experts think, then they could be in a little bit of trouble because, like I said, I don't want to say they're spiraling, but they're when you compare it to the start, it almost seems like a spiral.
Yeah, well, and we talked about a little bit of this on Monday. Where you when you lose is a big factor. I mean, losing, you know.
Well, they've lost some at home.
Well, they've lost
them at home.
That's
what you're talking about, the two of their three, you know, two of those three series.
Well, and they've lost lately. You know, you can lose eight games earlier in the season, but if you win them late, then people, for example, on the surface, on a piece of paper, if you scrambled all the games up, what Arkansas has done lately and their whole body of work isn't nearly as impressive as A&M's whole body of work. But Arkansas has been winning lately and A&M has been losing lately. And so the perception is that those teams are maybe closer together than what their whole body of work would suggest. And that's partially in reality. I mean, how you play at the end of the season does matter. But the question, Karim, for you is why? I mean, obviously part of it's the pitching right now. This weekend was just, they couldn't get anything across the plate. But do you think that's just
I think that's just a part of it, because I think what's happened, and we said this before, it's almost like you're waiting for that game or two where the fielding just cost them. And, you know, this last weekend the games were so close, and South Carolina fielded so much better than A&M, that was really as many runs as there was and as many home runs, which you can't field, obviously, but as many home runs as there were, I think the fielding made the difference.
Well, and the fielding has been...
Between those two teams.
Well, the fielding's been a problem.
I'd be a little worried about a couple other things as well, but...
Yeah, well, see, my question to you is, do you think the pitchers are wearing out? Do you think opponents have gotten the scouting report? I mean, what's the deal? Is this just a temporary
thing? I do think...
By the way, we have we're now tied on aggregate. A free kick from Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, there you go. See, I knew it wouldn't last long. But what I think one thing that I do believe has happened is, you know, they lost those two guys, and I don't want to put it all on that as much as, you know, how good they were and that they're missing them. But those guys probably would have pitched, in the neighborhood of 100 to 150 innings over the season, those two guys, if they were to have been healthy from the start and pitched the entire season. That's a lot of innings for the rest of a staff to, you know, to burn up. And so maybe there is some, you know, guys like Vincent. I'm sure Coach Childress doesn't want Vincent out there as often as he's been out there and for pitching as long as he has each outing. And I think Kent had a renewed life there with, you know, got away from the start and then threw, you know, three or four innings each time. But even that caught up with him a little bit, I think. So plus he's actually the worst kind of pitcher for this team right now, because he gives up, you know, he gets hit and he's got to depend on the fielding, and at the moment you just can't do that. I mean, there's some good plays in there. Nottebuck made a great play over the weekend. You know, we've seen Alamon make a couple of really good plays recently, but they, you know, but in, you know, in Alamon's case, he's also thrown the ball away almost every game recently. Although I will say this, and I mentioned this too, and I don't mean to be dissing Hunter Milton or anything, but I thought about this the other day. If House was still here playing first base for A&M, the way he used to dig the ball, I think Alamon would have maybe half the errors he does right now. Because, you know, if you can have a first baseman who could pick it like he did, that made your team look pretty good.
Yeah. Well, and it's a combination of a lot of things just happening at the same time. And, of course, you know, if A&M goes out this weekend and wins at Ole Miss, then they're probably still okay. They're probably back in that host situation. They're probably back where they were. It's to me, it's a little bit of a few things. One, A&M played over their head for a lot of the season, yeah. And now they're playing not quite as good as they should. So I think somewhere in there is where they really are.
And I think the key is what you're saying is they're playing because they're still hitting. I mean, that sounds kind of strange because hitting is part of playing. But, I mean, when I think of playing, I think of pitching and defense more than hitting, you know.
Yeah. Well, and there's something to be said for the fact that South Carolina is on the ropes. I mean, they know they've got to make moves. And I know that, yeah, playing for a national seed and all that stuff and the final home series, there was plenty of reasons for A&M to play this weekend also. But where it wasn't desperation like it was right. for South Carolina. And so there's something to be said for
that. That's a program that's not used to being where they are. Right now,
yeah,
so
well, and they still got good players. I mean, yeah. What was it last night? They scored like 16 runs with two outs or something.
Yeah,
some crazy numbers. Maybe.
Well, did you see their batting average? Their batting average went from. I looked this up. Their batting average. Maybe it included that midweek game that they just played. I don't know because I can't remember exactly when I looked it up. But they came into A&M hitting .251. Now remember how late we are in the season. They are now batting .260 as a team. And that might have been even before last night,
their
midweek game.
You know, like I said, it was also one of those
things.
That's
a large jump.
The wind was blowing out all weekend, so guys had more confidence at the plate, knowing that if I hang one up here, it's probably going to get out, and all that kind of goes into it.
If I hit my routine, maybe a little better than routine fly ball, it could be driving in three runs.
But anyway, so that was kind of my question. Should A&M fans be worried? That was kind of the big question. I think so.
I don't worried. It might be a little strong. Is worried worse than concerned? I don't know.
I don't know where
you put that on the scale.
I don't know the negativity power.
Yeah, I know. Worried sounds worse than concerned. I don't know why. But
hit us up though 229-1939. Let us know. Are you worried about the team? You think they can kind of come out of it? You still think they got a good run in them for the postseason? Let us know. And well, you know, there's still some things we don't know. There's still the great white whale of maybe Tyler Stubblefield coming back.
I was just going
to
say, you never know how healthy Stubblefield. I was out there today, you know, because they just left for Ole Miss, and Stubblefield comes running down the hallway. You know, well, when I say running, he was, you know, jogging down the hallway, hopping and all happy and, you know, kidding with guys and stuff. So, you know, maybe he's a lot closer, ready to go than we think. And like I said, this staff could use it because if he can be anything like he's supposed to be, just burning the innings.
Just a few innings would help.
And the fact that he's a left-hander, you can throw another left-hander, you know, when you need to and when you want to.
We'll see.
And we all know how Childress likes to do that.
Yeah, he does like his he likes his matchups.
Great. Yeah.
All right, let's go to our first break. When we come, like I said, y'all hit us up, 229-1939. Y'all got a... You know, topics you want to talk about, hit us with. We'll bring those up. One that we've been kind of touching on a little bit this week, but I want to kind of get your thoughts on this, crew, and maybe the fans' thoughts also, is why does everyone care so much about Everett Golson? This is one thing I kind of want to bring up. They've been talking about this guy like he's, you know, like he won a Rose Bowl and is coming back to quarterback for somebody else. So hit us up. And then, again, anything else you want us to talk about, we will get to it. 229-193. Now, we got to go to our first break, but we'll be back. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Hello, it's the Toyota Time sales event. This is Jan.
Have I missed the deals? Oh, one sec.
Fastball, strike one.
I'm back.
No, in fact, during Toyota Time, we have 0% APR financing as well as leasing deals on a great selection of your favorite models.
I was going to come down earlier, but just my luck. Extra innings. Hold on.
Here's the pitch. Swing on and foul away.
How's your selection?
Great. We have an all-star lineup of reliable Toyotas led by the bold 2015 Camry and the power-hitting Tundra. And if you're thinking MPG, Corolla and Prius have the bases covered.
There's a high drive. Deep left. It's good.
I'm on my way.
Oh, but you're still on the air.
You take over.
What? What a game, folks. Now let's hear a word from our sponsor.
The Toyota Time sales event ends June 1st. Hurry in today. Lease the bold 2015 Camry LE for only $199 a month for 24 months with $19.99 due at signing. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and 6/1/15. Not all customers will qualify. See your participating dealer for details. Sale ends June 1st. Toyota, let's go places.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
Don't miss the social event of the season. Join the Brazos Valley American Heart Association for the Ravishing and Red Heart Ball Friday, June 5th at Miramont Country Club. This black tie event will offer a night full of fine dining, entertainment by the Rockefellers, a live auction, and conversation about heart disease. It's your heart and your life, so take control. Find out more at brazoscountyheartball.heart.org or by calling 979-268-0068. Presented by Baylor Scott & White Healthcare.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com.
The Zone Shootout is back. Each Wednesday evening at the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course, it's a two-person, nine-hole scramble tournament for only $25. Yep, cart, green fee, prize fund, only $25. You can win prizes for net or gross scores, plus there's always a skins game. Make sure to register your team by 3 o'clock each Wednesday by calling the Pro Shop at 823-0126. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
Now that we party, just one side.
Welcome back. Bloom and Croom, Aggie Nation, powered by Eagle.
I feel like Rob just got into Rick Hill's music over there at Bluebell, you know, when there's a rain out.
Oh, yeah.
Starts playing every song that where there's a...
Songs about
has,
rain.
Has something to do with rain.
All kinds of songs about rain.
And it's appropriate
of,
right now.
By the way, speaking of Rick Hill, saw him last night over at... The Little Cook's Cafe over at Cypress Grove Elementary. It was a fun event last night, Croom.
Yeah.
A lot of people in town are probably over there. It was packed. Lots of people probably over there. The kids do a big dinner, and everyone goes in there and has a whole
like a fundraiser?
Yeah, well, it's more of like the kids getting to work on, you know, their skills. If they like have supervision.
Their culinary skills?
Yeah, they do that. They come around. They take your order and everything. It was a fun event. Saw Rick over there last night at that.
Did you tip anybody? Yeah, no, you didn't. I know you didn't.
Well, I wanted to. Yeah, I didn't have a chance.
Please, don't.
It was a cash-only situation,
no, Croom. Don't even start. Just say, no, I didn't.
Anyway, moving on.
Like myself.
Moving on. But it was a cool event for everyone.
That's good.
It's going on again tonight, I think, for the people, if you're interested in that. Hit us up, 229-1939. What's on your mind? The thing I keep coming back to, Croom, this has been annoying me for like 2 days now, and it's... Why does everyone care so much about Everett Golson? I cannot wrap my mind around this.
It's like they feel like wherever he's at, it's a national championship?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I should mention, we got a text. Someone said, I hope we get a national seat because I bought my super regional tickets already. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm kind of surprised that they got that the, quote, experts knocked them out of that. But
we'll see.
This early, but I definitely think they were heading that way.
But the thing I wanted to talk about, yeah, it's this, like, school for school reporting, like Everett Golson's visiting with South Carolina, Everett Golson's visiting with Georgia, he's in Florida, he's in Ole Miss, he's all these places, and so what? Who cares? Like he wasn't even that good at Notre Dame. Like, did I miss something? Why is everyone on board the wagon here, Kroom?
I don't know. Do they just remember, like, wasn't he like a five-star guy coming out of high school?
I don't know. He was an interception machine is what I remember. And one thing we talked
about. Well, let's see. I just called up his career stats. He had 20 interceptions and 41 touchdowns.
Well, so 2-1. I mean, that's not
great.
Good. It's not good. You know, and one of the things that we talked about with this is that, and it's a little bit, I saw some people texting Louis' show about Keith Ford is looking to transfer out of Oklahoma also, and one of these things. We talked a little bit about this yesterday in that there's this sort of sense that, you know, he didn't get it done there, but our coaching staff can get it done here. You know, that the...
Or our system's better for him.
Yeah, or the, you know, he had off-the-field trouble there. There was drama, but now he's going to get away from that, be able to focus on football. He's going to turn it all around. Yeah. We see this all the time with the transfer guys, and in some cases it is true. Certainly A&M has had plenty of transfers that have been important lately, not just in football, but across all the sports,
yeah,
especially in basketball. But I don't know. I just think it's interesting, this kind of school-by-school following of Everett Golson. I think it's both mesmerized and annoyed by it. It's like the rain outside. Yeah. I'm both mesmerized and annoyed by how hard it's
that's
raining.
That's a good one. I think it's because, essentially we're in a dry period for the high school recruiting right now, almost, essentially, you know?
Well, everyone's wrapping up. They're trying to graduate. Mm-hmm. They're moving on.
So that's kind of like your recruiting, what do you call it? Just
fix?
Fix, yeah, there you go. There's
that's what they need. They need to get that Everett Golson news.
Yeah, they got to have, who's available? Who's the one guy out there?
Okay, because, for example, if Everett Golson...
I think he'll go to South Carolina.
They said today that they're not even interested in him, supposedly.
Oh, interesting. Because he's from there. You know that.
Then Jimbo Fisher did a whole, we're negotiating yesterday. Of course, that got everybody sent off the deep end because he's like, what do you mean negotiating? But the whole thing to me is like...
Maybe Alabama could get him. They could get all those transfers that are...
Well, he has a little...
1 year left.
He has a little depth, but do you want your... And here's a good example. If you're an A&M fan... You know, A&M's got a solid quarterback battle about to shape up. Kyle Allen and Kyler Murray are both, everyone thinks, going to be great quarterbacks in the future. But neither one of them have done anything particularly impressive to this point. Would A&M fans rather have Kyle Allen or Everett Golson at quarterback? I bet most of them would rather have Kyle Allen.
Oh,
and he hasn't done
definitely.
Hardly anything yet. He's won one big game.
I'm not even sure most of them. I think that was an understatement.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So why the big deal? If you'd rather have Kyle Allen, who to this point has really only won one big game,
Colson would have been perfect if we didn't know right now that Murray was coming. And it would be kind of like, well, at least we have someone to, Kyle Allen gets hurt, for sure there's somebody there that can, back somebody
up. Yeah, the question
up,
isn't,
has a little
would
bit
like
of experience,
the question
can go in and play without being scared to death.
The question isn't, would you like to have Golson on your team for depth purposes? Clearly, I think most people would rather have him than the unknowns that A&M's going to have. But it's just, I don't see all the attention being paid to a guy that A&M, I think, was slightly above mediocre last season, right? I mean, they finished, made a bowl game, and they won the bowl game.
They won the bowl game, yeah.
And all this kind of stuff. And yet, I think everyone would rather have A&M's quarterback than Everett Golson. So, I don't get all the attention, Kroom. But I was looking around also on Twitter this morning. I can't remember exactly what spawned this idea yesterday, Kroom, but for some reason, me and my girlfriend were talking about weird plays. And I can't remember if it was a baseball play or something bizarre that happened. It might have been a basketball situation. Something weird happened the last few days that got us on this topic. And so one thing I thought we'd ask the texters, and then we're going to kind of talk about this in the second hour of the show today. So get... Perk your ears up. Get ready. The 229-1939. I want y'all's thoughts on not what is the biggest play or most important play or anything like that for A&M, but what's the weirdest play that you've ever seen?
Well,
and we want to talk about
deep
those.
For that.
Yeah, well, you've got about 30 minutes, Kroom, to think of yours.
I don't know. Me, 30 minutes sometimes isn't long enough.
The first person that replied to me on Twitter hit one that I'd almost forgotten about, and that's, to me, the weird one. It's the weirdest one I've ever
seen.
And
you're gonna wait till
we'll bring that one up later on. But I want to know what y'all think. The weird, bizarre, the moments where everyone in the stadium was sitting there going, what just happened? You know, those kind of bizarre plays. And it doesn't have to be football. It can be basketball. It can be baseball. It can be all kinds of stuff. And I'm trying to remember what exactly the play was. It might have been the...
That spurred this.
Yeah. It might have been the Sunday hit we thought was a hit, but turned out to be a balk because of the...
Oh, yeah.
It might have been that, because we were watching it on SEC Network Plus and couldn't get that figured out.
Yeah, that got the... You know, because of the... because of the home plate umpiring the day before, that kind of got the people going that next day, too.
Yeah.
Right away to have a call like that, even though it was legitimate, you know, I mean, like, it just happened that the guy swung at it and hit the pitch.
Yeah, that was...
After a balk had been called.
Yeah.
But, boy, the fans got into that one.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
It just jump-started them.
But I want to know, what were y'all's the weirdest plays, y'all? And, you know, they don't have to be A&M, really. They can just be a bizarre play that you've seen. And, I can't think of what spawned this whole thing off. But there's been a few. I got some on Twitter earlier. I want y'all to send us yours. Again, 229-1939. We'll break that all down in the second hour. Kroom, let's go ahead and go to our next break, because when we come back, let's talk a little NBA. The Rockets, maybe they're not dead yet, Kroom.
Well, they're definitely not dead yet, but the question is, will they be after the next game?
Well, they're still, how dead are they? Maybe that's what we'll talk about when we get back. So we will debate that. Also, want to tell a little Astros MLB coming up here in a little bit. Did you see the Stanton home run last night?
No, I did not.
Oh, my God, Kroom. This was the hardest hit baseball I have ever seen. And I've seen some of the ones they compare it to. This thing went forever. So a little about that. If some of y'all saw that, share
was
your
that
thoughts
the,
on that.
Was that in L.A.?
Out of Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you know what? I saw a little thing about other big home runs in L.A., and I was wondering why they were doing that, and I didn't realize that Stanton had hit one out of the park, and they were showing showed a couple of McGuire's home runs and Piazza's home runs and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, why are you showing this?
I mean, the thing cleared the whole stadium.
I'd come in late on that one. Yeah.
It was one of those ones you heard it, and you were just like, oh, okay, that's going a long way. But anyway, we'll talk about all that stuff when we come back. Come back with us. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Fallout from the recent reassignment of the Bryan High band director reached the city council. Assistant drum major Cooper McCall asked Mayor Jason Bayinski last night for a proclamation commending Robert Towell for a phenomenal career.
We've been wildly successful, and without Mr. Towell, our band's performance would suffer quite a bit next year, and it would derail our consistent and constant improvement that we've had.
A Facebook page, Together for Towel, has more than 600 likes from those opposed to the reassignment of the 19-year band director at Bryan High. More than a year in the making, a new skate park is coming to Bryan. The city council unanimously approved a contract extension with a company that will design and build a replacement at Williamson Park. William Carey is a parent who, with his son, went to several states looking at skate parks.
I skate with my son, and we do it regularly, and it's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of good kids that skate, and most of these kids are great. You know, they dress differently, but they're good kids, and they're going to grow up to be great adults. And so I really want to encourage y'all to build this park and make it public and make it open and make it nice.
No construction timeline has been set because the design won't be finalized until after public meetings. Will a new animal shelter be built in Bryan? Mayor Jason Bayinski brought up the possibility at the end of an annual presentation about animal control activity. The council was told the estimated cost of a new facility is at least $3.5 million. As Bryan completes its fourth year operating its own shelter on Thin Feather, staff was congratulated for reducing the euthanasia rate from 80 to 23% and returning nearly 200 dogs and cats to their owners instead of taking them to the animal center. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done, and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norman G. Tractor. At Norman G. Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Norman G. Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with a $300 factory rebate, $700 implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price $18,895 or $247 per month. Normandy Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Normandy Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Normandy Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials too at normandgtractor.com. Normandy Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
Fun is the focus at Spirit Ice Arena, and learning the skills of skating will enable you to enjoy a lifetime of fun and exercise. Step-by-step instruction in pleasant, supervised surroundings makes learning to skate safe and easy. Skating is for everyone, so whether you want to play hockey, figure skate, or just for a lifetime of fun, Spirit Ice Arena is the place to start. Group lessons will be starting soon, so call today and join the fun at Spirit Ice Arena, 693-3900, or online at spiriticearena.com.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com.
Spend your weekdays with Tex Ags Radio, Louie Bellina, Aggie Nation, and Chip Power. Spend your weekdays with The Zone, FM 102.7, and Sports Radio 1150.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroon. It's let up a little bit over here.
Yeah.
In, doesn't look like on it's, Briarcrest. I don't know what it's like in y'all's parts of town. Yeah.
Right now it doesn't look like it's 9 o'clock at night. Yeah, that was, it almost got to the point where it was that dark.
It was pretty bad outside a while ago over here at the Eagle. Maybe y'all can let us know what it's like in your part of town, 229-1939. And again, later on, we're going to talk about the weirdest plays we've ever seen at A&M. Crew, did you think of any during the break? Don't tell
Not
me
really.
Yet, but did you, have you thought of any?
At A&M, no, I haven't really thought of any at A&M.
Okay, well, they can be any weird plays. And they, you know, just whatever you want to, just weird plays.
I can think of weird
about.
Situations, but I really can't remember, like, the team or whatever that it happened with, you know, just
you know, that.
Well, I'll give you an example. Like, you always see, like, in hockey, the puck going around the all around the boards, and all of a sudden it hits something, and their board wasn't put in exactly correctly, so all of a sudden the puck just flies out into the center of the ice, and the guy just puts it home
because
the goalkeeper's gone back to retrieve it, and next thing you know, it's out there for anybody to hit. Things like that. Those are weird plays, but I can't think of the actual goalkeeper that it happened to or anything.
There you go. But keep sending in your weird plays, 229-1939, as well as just, you know, anything else you want to talk about. Going into last night, Kareem, I thought the Rockets were done. I thought this thing was going to be finished.
Even though they were at home?
Yeah, I just thought they were done. But not quite.
I guess I haven't seen enough of it to have that feeling, and I just felt like, and you know, so it didn't surprise. Kind of surprised me the score a little bit, but it did surprise me that Houston won that last night.
Well, the score thing was the bigger thing for me, because the last two games have just been murders.
Yeah. I think someone said something about it's the first time in I don't know how long that three games in a row have been won by more than 20 points. Three
really?
Playoff games.
It must have been close with the finals last year, though, because I felt like the Spurs Heat were like that. Like they were, yeah. I felt like all those games were blowouts one way or the other. But, you know, that was a little bit impressive last night for the Rockets. I mean, they maybe their last gasp for the...
I saw a little bit of that. Don't you think part of it was, didn't DeAndre get in foul trouble?
DeAndre was in foul trouble.
And so all of
early.
A sudden that middle is no longer protected, and I think Houston, that was their plan anyway, was to attack. So
well,
that it became even more prominent and easier for them to do.
There's always that the road closing out, the first time you can close out on the road is one of those games that you almost never win, though. I mean, I wasn't so much surprised the Rockets won as they just killed it. But you see that every now and then where, like, a game five when it's 3-1, the team that can close it out has just, of course, and rightfully so, I guess, no sense of urgency.
And, well, and especially when they're on the road, it just
right.
doesn't seem to happen. It just doesn't seem to happen a lot. Because for two reasons. One, the other team's the home team, and two, if it's the fifth game and they're the home team, they're usually the better team anyway. They had the better record during the season.
Yeah, and so, I don't know. We will see, I guess, tomorrow night will be the next one of that series. The other thing I want to talk about the NBA last night, though, you know, with all the talk of James Harden and Steph Curry this season and all that stuff, and rightfully so, the two guys that should have been in the battle for the MVP, and they were, you forget every now and then that LeBron James is still the best player on this planet. And that every now and then he has one of those games where you go, yeah, this is still, when he's playing well, this is still the best. If the aliens came down and challenged us to basketball, he's still our team captain. What a game for LeBron last night. I mean, every now and then he just has one of these things where you remember that good.
And, of course, it's like doesn't this seem to happen a lot, especially in basketball and NBA and the playoffs? He was supposedly, you know, not 100%. And they always seem to have those, you know, the Jordan-esque type games.
The same thing with Harden last night. Harden was battling the flu, had to get an IV before the game or whatever, and he comes out and he balls out last night.
Mm-hmm.
I do, you know, you wonder why that is. My theory has always been if it's not a major sickness, if it's a one-night deal, it's because you're more focused. You know you've got to drink more fluids before the game. You know you can't do certain things, and so you focus in for that one game. I'd be interested to see how the numbers are over multiple games.
Oh yeah, I don't think you could. I mean, it's kind of like the you know, like when Magic Johnson played center against the 76ers. You know, for one game it worked because no one had seen it before. You didn't know how to defend it and whatever.
That'll be interesting tonight,
like,
a little bit.
They could have turned
it
around. You know, if you had another game like that, you know, you would have turned it around a little bit.
That'll be interesting tonight in the Grizzlies-Warriors series because Steve Kerr's been, man, he went nuts with his defensive matchups in game four, and it worked. I'm interested to see how Memphis switches that up tonight, but they were doing all kinds of weird stuff in the last game, and Memphis wasn't really prepared for it. So, I don't know, that'll be interesting tonight to see as well. It'll be, one thing we meant to talk about yesterday, but was the Pelicans firing their coach, and we've also talked about how there's a good chance, even if the Cleveland wins the finals, that they might fire David Blatt.
Yeah.
It was one of those things that we talked about the other day on the show about, does the coaching even matter in the NBA? And Rockets fans, the Rockets have had as good of a season as they've had in a long time. They are the 2 seed in the West. You know, part of that was a giant logjam. They could have just as easily been the 6 seed, but they were the 2 seed. But yet, their fans hate McHale for the most part, it seems like. Right?
You know, I to be honest with you, I don't know that for sure. But from what I've seen, and I don't know why either, because yeah, he has brought him up. To be honest with you, I couldn't really answer that one.
Well, and it's because, you know, I just watch it on social media and stuff like that, and it seems like all the Rockets fans hate their coach. And I guess what kind of my question,
don't you think it's because they feel like, you know, it can't be their players because their players are good type thing?
Well, that's kind of my question to the fans. If y'all are big NBA fans, is that the case? I mean, you look at the Rockets, and yeah, they've got a great few guys, obviously. But then after that, you know, they've got a bunch of also-ran guys also. Yeah. It's not like their roster is noticeably better than anybody else's is.
Yeah, they could use a point guard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's a perfect roster.
Rest of that roster is pretty decent.
But they've got. Yeah, it's obviously good, but I don't think anyone's looking at the Rockets going, oh, this is a team that should definitely win the finals. And they're also not looking at it going, oh, this is a team that's playing above their head. I mean, they kind of are who they are. But my question to people is, how many good coaches do people think there are? 4 or 5? I mean, it seems like everybody wants to fire their coach.
Coach, yeah. Well, I mean, my Nuggets coach, George Karl, got fired after being named Coach of the Year.
It's weird.
So, I mean, that just tells you where it stands in the NBA.
I don't know, Krim. People need to calm down on the coaching thing. And, you know, it's almost one of the – I wonder if we're not too far away from a player coach in the NBA. Could LeBron just... We talked about this the other
could
day.
Could he be it next year? He could. Yeah, they win it this year,
so
then he decides
just
to take
player
on the player coach still?
Well, we debated the other day.
Russell did it.
That we're sure that there's rules against it, but we debated the other day whether or not LeBron could just get paid the league minimum as a player and then get paid a whole bunch as a coach and put him under the salary cap. But we decided there's probably rules against that the other day, Kroom. By the way, did you see 538, the ESPN's, whatever you want to call it, analytics data site?
No, I have not seen that.
Did they – they've been having a contest over how to fix the NBA draft lottery. And they had all kinds of ideas. They said they had like 7,000 entries, from like simple tweets to one guy like bound a suggestion. It was like a 7-page bounded document. He brought it to them personally, like brought it up to their newsroom or whatever. And their idea, the one that they liked the best, was the one that sounded the craziest, but they said when you think about it, it makes the most sense. Their idea how to fix the draft lottery, the idea was how to stop teams from tanking. Their idea was at the end of each season, and we might have talked about this on the show when it first came out, but the more you think about it, the more sense it makes, despite how hard it is to kind of grasp it first. Their idea was at the end of each season, the team that gets last, their idea, the core problem, what they figured out is the main problem is the reason everybody tanks is because they own their own draft pick. So you tank because if you're the worst team, you have the highest chance.
See, that's it. Go ahead.
Their idea was that each team, so whoever gets last, let's say it's the 76ers, I'm not sure who was last this year, but let's just say it's them, gets to pick which team they think will get last the next season, and then they own their pick. So if you think the worst team in the league, let's say the 76ers...
So essentially you've got to wait 1 year for your ineptness.
Right, you're essentially buying futures on other teams.
Yeah, and then you're also hoping that team does bad next year.
And it would effectively prevent tanking because there'd be no incentive to lose.
But when would you have to make that pick? Because, I mean, like... So much could change from the actual draft to, you know. I could pick the Celtics and then the Celtics go and get two free agents that make them, you know, a middle of the road team.
Well, I think
or
if
better.
You were doing that, you'd have to do it before the season,
right? Or, before the season,
yeah. So I don't know. I thought it was an interesting idea. So that's the one that they went with.
I don't know why they're worried so much about it, because I think the lottery, you know, where you're not guaranteed that top guy, and how often is the top guy so much better than the second and third or fourth guy?
It's just
granted, it's happened. I'm not going to ignore that, but I just I think they're making a little more of this than they really need.
Well, there's that. I think it's a big to do about nothing. Also, the so few teams really do actually tank. I mean, there are sometimes just really bad teams.
Yeah. And you see something like I think Philadelphia was one of those teams where you could just tell they weren't nearly tanking, but it's almost like we are building for 5 years down the line, 3 or 4 or 5 years down the line. So they had nobody, you know, except for all they had done is gathered guys that were really good and young, or future picks for those kind of guys.
And the other thing, too, is I think people put too much stock or too much, whatever you want to call it, in piling draft picks is the other thing, too. Everyone always applauds all these teams. Have you ever heard any team that was trading back, building up picks, and people go, oh, man, they're not doing a very good job. It seems like everyone likes the idea of stockpiling picks, yet everybody admits how much of a crapshoot every draft is. Mm-hmm. And so
that's what I'm saying. It's more of a, you know, the LeBron James, the Tim Duncan type year. How often does that happen? Where, you know, it's like, oh God, if we don't get that first guy, you know, we might as well hang it up because the second guy's that much worse.
Well, we talked about last year's draft and this next year's draft. I mean, I don't know if there's anyone in there that you look at and say, hey, 5 years from now, this guy's going to be LeBron James. Or, you know, Andrew Wiggins I thought was going to be a really good player, but is he going to be Kobe Bryant? You know, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting...
Yeah, I mean... We don't think so much so that Cleveland traded him. I mean, you know, if someone guaranteed you that Wiggins was going to be Kobe Bryant, I don't care if they got Love or whoever, they weren't going to give him away.
Well, and that's kind of my whole deal. I think there's too much credit to stockpiling draft picks given how, you know, and I'm not talking about just in basketball. That's the same in the NFL also. Everyone gets, You know, the Patriots always get credit for trading back and building up picks, but, you know, what do those picks always turn into? The Patriots end up trading for veterans every year, and that's what they use those picks for, I guess. It works for them, so I don't know, Kroom. Anyway, let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk a little baseball. Who broke the Houston Astros? That's the today's baseball topic, Kroom. I was sad last night. Colin McHugh finally got a loss last night.
Oh,
so
no.
Let's talk a little bit about the Astros when we come back, and also we'll have today in Aggie history when we come back. So come back with us, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Center and Special Events to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M's Center and Special Events uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
Come stand with the 12th man at all Texas A&M athletic events. You make a difference for our student athletes in our venues. Tickets are available at 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com/tickets. Thanks and gig 'em. Aggie fans, Texas A&M Athletics is always just a few clicks away on your digital device. Stay connected by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit 12thman.com/social media for a complete social media directory.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com.
Don't miss the social event of the season. Join the Brazos Valley American Heart Association for the Ravishing and Red Heart Ball Friday, June 5th at Miramont Country Club. This black tie event will offer a night full of fine dining, entertainment by the Rockefellers, a live auction, and conversation about heart disease. It's your heart and your life, so take control. Find out more at brazoscountyheartball.heart.org or by calling 979-268-0068. Presented by Baylor Scott & White Healthcare.
Listen to the Zone 102.7 in Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by Eagle, hanging out with you on a Wednesday. Kroom, how about this? Have you seen this story today? The Jim McElwain, of course, the new coach at Florida, between the actual cash buyout that they had to play that they had to pay Colorado State and the two games that they're going to play them, basically a game check that Colorado State's going to get for playing Florida, Colorado State is going to use that money to pay the cost of attendance at Colorado State. So effectively, Jim McElwain, the coach of Florida, is paying the student athletes of Colorado State University. How about that?
Good for Colorado State.
Yeah, got to find a way to get the money somewhere.
Yeah.
By the way, we're doing a thing where we were
They're looking into building a new stadium on campus.
Oh, they got it. Well,
that's another big thing for them.
Good. Well, they found the money for the student athletes. Now they got to find the money for that. We were going through some of the SEC schedules for something we're working on in here. This is just a random off the top of my head, but it, you know, every year there's these games that you think, how in the world did that game get scheduled? And there's a couple of them this year in the SEC. For example, Missouri plays at Arkansas State, which is a weird one.
Yeah, to play on the road.
Yeah, in the, I forget what they call the stadium, but we looked it up. It's the something field. And then the other one, Vandy plays a Halloween game, so middle of the season, at Houston, who is by most metrics a much better team than Vandy. So it seems like Vandy's volunteering to get their butts kicked by the Cougs mid-season, Kroom. I thought that was a little bit of a weird one, too. But those are just a couple things looking
through. If there was a team that was looking for those non-conference wins to possibly sneak into a bowl, it would be Vandy. And that'll
yeah,
that could hurt their chances.
At Houston, at TDEC Field or whatever. So
will there be how many people?
Well, you never know. If the Cougs are having a good season, could be quite a few people in there. They got a brand new coach. They're excited on their Kroom. The Ohio State offensive era has begun at Houston. So we'll see.
Well, I don't know. Houston always seems to have good quarterbacks. I was going to say, I bet they didn't have the quarterbacks Ohio State had, but
not quite. Probably.
But they've always had good quarterbacks there.
Real quick, Kroom, what's the deal with the Astros? What did you do?
I put them on a reality check.
Everything was going so well. Well, they've had some injuries, for one.
Oh, gosh.
Springer comes back today, though. Or at least he's back on the team. I don't know if he's playing tonight, but he's back.
They're only one game out of having the best record in the American League.
I know, but they've lost like five of their last seven games.
That happens in baseball.
No.
That's baseball, as I get told almost every weekend at Bluebell.
I know. They're fine. It's I was baseball. Just noticing the last couple nights. Colin McHugh's been had a great season.
If you'd have looked up and said, hey, the Astros are going to be 20-13 at this time, there's there you go.
Like I said, I was mostly just kidding, but I've been watching them and, you know, it was a little sad. They're horrible at home. They got to stop playing
games. It was kind of bad that they lost all those games to Texas when Texas was, like, the worst team in the American League at that point.
Yeah. They, like I said, they've got to stop playing home games would be one thing to help. They've got, like, 16 home games this month, so I don't know if that's going to help anything.
Well, I think they end up with 81 on the road and 81 at home, so it'll all even out.
I assume it will all even out, Kroom, but hopefully things get going again.
Maybe pretty soon they'll get the Rockies, and that'll help them. That'll help their case.
Maybe.
They're terrible.
Well, and the way the Astros play, their hitting comes and goes. They either score a bunch of runs or they score no runs. So it's one of those up and down kind of
things.
Well,
they're either hitting the ball or not because
they are a little,
that's their offense.
Right. They are a little frustrating to watch sometimes, though, because you can tell kind of in the first inning if it's going to be a game where they hit or if it's a game where they don't. And if it's one of those ones where, you know, Carter and Rasmus and Gattis are all just lost, then you're like, well, I'm going to change it.
Well, they're one of those teams that can score five in an inning or can have the bases loaded with no outs and the next two guys strike out and then they don't even end up scoring that.
Well, I think it was the Angels series where like all but one run came off home runs.
Yeah.
Like that's just what they do. So I don't know. We'll see, Kroom. Let's hit the people with a little Today in Aggie History.
And now, Today in Aggie History.
Today's is a birthday, Kroom. Today's Today in Aggie History from MyAggieNation.com is the birthday of former A&M receiver Albert Connell. How about that? One of the all-time greats at Texas A&M. Okay. Another JUCO transfer, Trinity Valley Community College. You know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But he was a good one. I know that.
It is interesting when you go back to players that people, they forget that they're transfers. When you go back in history sometimes. And, you know, because I don't want to say that nobody followed it, but certainly fewer people followed where guys came from back in the day, you know, and it wasn't unusual for guys to wait on the bench for their turn as juniors and seniors. And so a lot of guys were transfers when people don't even think about it. You know, they just think, oh, a great Aggie player, but you forget some of these guys transferred in. So there you go. He was one. He, his senior year, caught a Big 12 record 18 passes in a game against Colorado, Krim. How about that? So always, 5 seasons in the NFL.
Always against the Colorado or Colorado State team.
Oh, I'm sorry, Krim. I didn't think about that when I said it. His best season, 1999, 62 catches, 1,132 yards, and 7 touchdowns, Krim, for Albert Connell. All right, we're going to get ready to go to the big break. We've gotten some text, 229-1939, on the weirdest play that you've ever seen. There's some good ones in here. We've already gotten a couple
That's
weird
good,
ones.
That's good, because I can't really think of... They're not coming to me like I'd hoped.
Well, there was a few ones that were in bizarre situations. There was one where the play itself was weird. There's one where the rule was weird. So we've got a few different types of weird.
A little variety?
Yeah. So
like
we're going to break them all down when we come back. Also, I'm always excited for the high school report, Krim, but